Hey everyone, welcome to Talk That Talk podcast. I'm your host, Brittany, and I'm so glad you're here. Everyone has a story, and everyone's story matters. Join me as I invite my guests on the show to share their stories in order to bring you hope, encouragement, and inspiration, as well as talk on the real about the things in life that truly matter. My hope is that you listen and leave feeling encouraged and that you would know that your story matters. Hey guys, you are listening to episode 7 today, and I have a conversation with a good friend of mine, Sammy Franks. Sammy lives in Swickley, PA, and she recently got engaged to her fiance, Juan, so we talk a lot about that, how they met, and Sammy just shares a lot about her journey and her faith and how she had this prayer for a long time that God would release her from the bondage of her own heart, which I think is just such a cool prayer, and we talk a lot about that and how he ended up doing that through a really cool way and how she has continued to stay faithful to him. She shares a lot of really awesome wisdom about how we can let God fill the desires of our hearts, not from other things or the things that he gives us, but just in who he is. And I was so encouraged by that. And I think you guys will be too. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Sammy. Hope you guys enjoy. Hey, Sammy.
Hey, Britt. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good, sitting on my couch, drinking my coffee. Daily occurrence for me. I love coffee.
Me too, dog. I feel ya. Okay, so fun fact, this is round two of...
Round two.
Sammy and I's conversation. We recorded a podcast yesterday, and we're about 40 minutes deep when my computer shut off.
Randomly.
Yeah.
With no reason.
Uh-huh. And deleted everything.
So round two will be better than the original. That's my thoughts on it.
Definitely. Okay, Sammy. So, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I will start with, first of all, those of you who don't know me, I know Britt because...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so my sister, me, she was my identical twin sister. She's great. Went to college at IUP with Britt, and they led Young Life together and were a part of that. So I met Britt, I think it was like a few years ago, actually, just through Mish and...
Like four years ago, maybe?
Yeah, probably 3 years ago. That's what I'm thinking.
No, it was more than that.
Four, five?
Like four.
Four, yeah.
But it doesn't really matter. But we've known each other for a little bit.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Super pumped to be on her podcast.
Yeah. I'm so glad to have you.
Fun fact number one is that I have a twin sister, so that's always true. One of my fun facts. I live in Swickley, Pennsylvania, which is like right outside of the city of Pittsburgh, and live with some of my friends currently in this season and work for a nonprofit and do relationship education for teenagers. So that's what I do full time, and I lead youth group on the side. That's my passion. And also am planning a wedding because I'm engaged and getting married May 25th to my fiance Juan. So that's like what the current season of life looks like right now.
Yowza. Okay. Lot going on, but all such awesome things.
Yes. Oh, all so good. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. But I always say, you know, the seasons aren't going to get any less crazy. So I just take them as they come, you know?
It's true. For those of you guys who can hear the dog in the background barking, don't worry. That's just Ellie. can you hear her, Sammy?
I can a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah. Sometimes she gets lonely whenever people leave. And so she sounds sad. And I would totally go pet her, but she bit me one time, so.
Oh, yeah, that's traumatizing.
We have a rocky relationship.
Yep, a little bit scarred.
Yes.
A little bit scarred right there, yep.
Yeah. So, you're engaged. You're the second couple who's getting married on my birthday.
Which I love. Like, I knew we picked May 25th for a reason.
Yeah, it's a great day.
Britt was born that day. It's a great day.
I christened the world on that day. Yeah, it's great. And it's such a perfect weekend because it's Memorial Day weekend. So all your guests can have an extra day after your wedding.
Yep, and for travel, and hopefully, like, it won't be too hot, you know. Another fact about me is that I, like, am a perpetual sweater. Like, I sweat all the time. So I was, like, when we were planning our wedding, I was, like, I refuse to get married between the months of June and September because it's blazing hot.
Yes.
Won't do good things for my, you know, the pictures. Like, I just refuse. So,
dude, I'm totally with you. I mean, not that I have to think about it right now, but I am, like, there is no way I'm getting, like, if I have any say over the time period, like, I'm not getting married in the summertime because...
No.
Homegirl's going to be looking a hot mess in her pictures.
Right? That's what I'm saying. So, I just think, like, if you're listening to this, you can, like, send up a prayer for me that, like, it would be a little bit not hot on that day. Like, it can be, like, 60. That would be a good temperature.
That would be a really... 60, 65?
Yes. That's, like, ideal temperature, for sure.
Okay, Sammy. Yeah, we're definitely... That might be a little tough in the end of May, but we're going to shoot for that.
Shoot up a prayer for me.
Okay.
I think God is faithful. He'll make it happen.
Okay. So, you were telling this awesome story yesterday about how you and your fiancé met. And you got to retell that story, bud.
Yes.
Because it's so good.
Well, I love telling the story. Sometimes when I tell it, I just tell him, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that this is my life.
I know.
Because it's crazy, and I think the past few months. So, other fun fact is that I met my fiancé, Juan, in July of this year. And
oh, I didn't realize that.
We were engaged in 3 months. So.
Okay, hold on a second, Sammy.
Yeah.
I saw you at Jacob and Kara's wedding in June.
Yes, correct.
And you told me about a boy then.
Yep.
This is not one.
No, so this all plays into the story of
okay.
The Lord. Yeah, the Lord kind of orchestrated, like, a lot of events in my life to wreck me in a lot of ways, and then blessed me right after that. So that being said, I have learned so much about the character of God and my own brokenness and tendency to not hand over things to Him.
Yeah.
That I want to be in control of, and then I cover it up by being gracious and serving and looking like this ideal Christian woman. And really, like, he wrecked me on that in July, right before I met Juan in the Dominican Republic. So I'll start with, like I said, I'm a youth leader, which is, I know you connect with that because you love Young Life and what
I do.
They're all about. So that is, like, my heart.
And so, sorry to interrupt you again, but
yeah,
this is you volunteer as a youth leader.
I do, yeah. I volunteer with St. Philip's Church in Moon. So
did you always volunteer? Or did you used to work for this church?
I worked for a church all through college. I was a intern there in Northway, and they're a multi-site church, but that's, like, where my faith really developed, and I felt a call to ministry in some sort of way, and then I kind of felt called out of there when I graduated college and saw a need at a church that I, you know, was friends with the youth pastor there. One of my mentors is on staff there, and their youth ministry program is just, like, blowing up, and they don't have the adult volunteers that they need to sustain that.
Okay.
So kind of, like, through some conversations and prayer, the Lord called me into that. So I started volunteering with St. Philip's It's been like a year and a half ago now. So that's where I spend a lot of my free time. Love the teenagers there. They're just great. That's awesome.
Okay, so you're with your girls and you're heading to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, learned about this trip and knew that we had some girls going from the youth group, and in December of 2017 felt a call to sign up for the trip, and financially like didn't really have the money to do so, but just was like, okay, Lord, like I know I can fundraise for this, like let's go. If you want me to go, I'm gonna go. So I signed up for the trip, fundraised over half of the cost, and thanks to very generous people in my life who heard my heart on what I thought the Lord wanted to do there, and really like through reading scripture felt a prayer be imprinted on my heart for that trip. And the prayer was to be freed of the bondage of my own heart. And I had no idea, and me being a 2 on the Enneagram, my sin characteristically is pride, right? I was like, yo, Jesus, I ain't got no bondage. what are you talking about? And so, you know, kind of like every time I would pray that every day, like it was at the top of my prayer list that I go through every morning during my quiet time. And I would just like be confused a lot of the time. Like, what are you talking about? But I prayed it faithfully. And so, you know, go on the trip, like expectant of having that worked out. Like I knew that the Lord wanted to do something with that. Also went into the trip with this relationship that Britt, like you said, I saw you in June, at the end of June for Kara and Jacob's wedding. And at that time was like wrestling with a relationship that I was in that was long distance. And I was wrestling with my calling and how the two fit together, and really like at the root of that was like I just wasn't that into the relationship, and I think at the root of that was a deep fear that if I were to get out of the relationship, would I be blessed with something else? And
would there be someone else out there for you?
Yep, and or would I be 35 and regret ending that relationship and be questioning why I did that and get all of the things that Satan speaks into you
right
at those moments. Like I was going into the trip wrestling with that and knew my own tendency is to listen and ask for advice from everyone else in my life more so than I pray about things.
Gosh, I'm a 2 on Enneagram 2, and all the things you're saying, I'm like, yep, I do that.
And I all the time, I'm like, I see myself going to like wise people, spiritual mentors of mine for advice, but like I find myself doing that more so than praying about things to God, who like knows my heart anyway, but right. I like restrain myself from telling him things, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I do.
I you know, was wrestling with all of those things and knew that the trip would be a great opportunity for me to disconnect from people in my life, like my sister and some of my best friends who like I tell everything to, you know, but I also really take in what they say to me. So I wanted to limit those voices and to really like take the week to rely on God. I knew that I would have no cell service, no access to social media, couldn't even text anyone.
Oh, dang.
So I was like really like praying that time would be blessed, because just with my job and all the things that I do on the side, having a blog and doing all of that stuff, like it's really hard for me to limit social media, and I will, you know, fast from it for a day or two during the week, but never have I ever taken a whole week to do that. Yeah. So really was looking forward to that, and that's kind of what I went into the trip with on my heart. So
a lot.
Yeah, and
when I saw you, I feel like I remember you being like, yeah, this, you know, this guy I'm dating, like, he's all, like, I feel like I remember you talking about how awesome he was, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, Sammy might have, like, found the one. And then however many months later you got engaged, and I just automatically assumed that it was the same person.
yeah. So, and that's something, like, characteristically I do too, you know, like, I'm an optimist, and I also,
okay, I'm not like that, so that's not true of all two Enneagram people.
Oh no, it definitely, I think it's like just innately in me, yeah, from my childhood. But yeah, I think, like, again, being a two on the Enneagram, like, tell me if you resonate with this, like, pride is our sin, right? So when I make a choice, I'm like, well, I'm going to make that choice look really good because I made it. So it has to be good, you know, even if it isn't.
Yeah, I know. I think I definitely do struggle with pride. I think mine looks a little bit different, where I feel like I almost do the, what, like, the negative pride of, like, oh, like, you know, I'm too bad, like, I messed this up, and therefore, like, this outweighs the grace of God, or this outweighs the importance of the cross. Like, I mean, not that I don't have pride in what you think of pride of, like, you know, normally, but that's definitely more how mine manifests.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've gone through seasons where for sure it looks like that. So I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so you're in the Dominican Republic, you're unplugged, you're with your girls, you're expecting God to show up. You've been praying this prayer for a couple months now, and something crazy happens. Tell us what happened.
Crazy. So I went on the trip. We went with an organization called Meeting God in Missions. They are just awesome. And how the trip works is you get paired up with different churches that go, and those people are the core group of people you go and minister in the villages with and hang out with and just do all the things with. So we ended up getting paired up with a church from Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, which is like an hour south of where I am now. And that is the church where Juan, my fiance, is the youth director there. So, met him. You know, I remember meeting him briefly at the airport and didn't think anything. I was like really, looking back, I was in oblivious to everything because I was like, went there like, I need to get this stuff figured out.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I'm also trying to lead the well, and doing that when you're wrestling with things and struggling spiritually is like not an easy task to do, as I'm sure you know.
Yep.
Yes. So I was like, all right, like, gotta keep it together, but like, any spare moment I get, like, I really gotta lean into like this prayer that the Lord has put on my heart.
Yeah.
So you know, first few days go by, and the second night that we were there, a freak thing happened. One of my girls dropped a rock on my toe.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, all the things, blood everywhere. Broken toe.
Sammy.
Saturday night of the trip, like 2 days in. So, you know, the next day was our off day, where we were going to go on this hike and in the mountains of the DR, which if you've never been is flipping beautiful. the country is amazing. But so, you know, super pumped, and then like realized I couldn't go on the hike. So I'm like bummed about that, but took the opportunity to kind of use that, time to just have like an extended time with the Lord, like 4 to 5 hours of just being with him and sitting with him. And looking back, like, I was super discouraged about that flipping broken toe, but now I'm like, Lord, like, you've used that. Like, I would never have been like, yeah, let me just not go on the hike because I'm extroverted. I like people.
Well,
I like
and you're adventure. There leading girls, like.
Right. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go on the hike. But, right. like, I think the Lord literally, like, you know, broke my toe for me to be forced to just, like, sit with
sit
him.
Sit and be quiet, like, yeah.
Is characteristic of what he needs to do for me to get him, me to listen to him. So, not surprised that that happened.
But, no.
So, Sunday night, like, after that time I spent with him.
So, wait, what was that time like? Like, did you feel any,
yeah,
anything shift?
To be honest, like, it was a lot of me being, like, angry and working through that and just, like, telling him how I don't understand why he isn't telling me what to do. And, you know, I need an answer. And, like, I can't make a choice until you tell me what to do because I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to battle that. So it literally was like listening to worship music, like battling with that and just being honest with like where I was, which I think is the first time that I did that. And like told him how fearful I was. And so it was like no breakthrough moments, but like just like raw vulnerability.
Yeah, lots of honesty. And I think we were talking about this yesterday, that it's so cool this summer, like when I was going off staff and everything, I had moments like that too, where I would be like, God, like, just tell me what to do. Like, where should I go? What should I do? You know, where should I apply? Like, where am I supposed to be? And to some extent, I feel like, you know, God was just like, you get to pick. Like, yeah. You know, and we often don't think that God does that for us, you know? Like, sometimes I think we have this picture of like, okay, like, the Lord's going to tell me what to do very clearly. He's going to write it in the sky. I'm going to go this, and then the next step is going to be written clearly, and I'm going to do that. And it's just not, God speaks to us in different ways, and sometimes it's really loud, like you will get to. And clear, and it's, you know, we know, like, okay, 100%, God, you told me to do this. Or, you know, sometimes it's a soft whisper. Sometimes it's, whatever you do, like, I'm going to love you, and I believe in you, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be with you. And as long as you are seeking me, like, you can't make the wrong decision. And I love that, because I think we forget that, like, God believes in us, and he gives us choices sometimes, you know, like.
Yeah, like, he loves us so, and I think, like, that's, I was under the impression if I, like, made the choice to end this relationship or stay in this relationship, you know, I would fall out of his will.
Yeah.
And he really, like, I've learned that, like, his will is not this, like, mystery, you know, like, his will literally is, are you loving him, and are you loving people in his name and bringing them to the light, you know, like that's all it is. And if you have 10 good choices that are within those two parameters, like, he loves you enough to give you the ability to choose, and he's gonna teach you something in whatever you choose, and he's gonna lead you ultimately to where he wants you.
Yeah.
No matter what choice you make.
Yeah.
You know, and so this idea that like we need to hear a specific path from him, and we have to stay on that path, and if we falter from it, like we're not gonna live to our full potential or experience him fully, like that's a lie from the devil to get us to stay where we are.
Yeah.
You know, and stay in this unsettledness and this like weird comfort, and then
yes.
like actually isn't comfort, but right. we're convincing ourselves that it is.
Yeah, so that's so true. And I think too, like, we become so afraid, and you mentioned this, that fear was kind of keeping you in this place of indecision and settling a little bit. And I think sometimes we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop with God. You know, it's like, if I make one wrong move, you're going to punish me. You're going to take something good away from my life. You know,
yep.
I'm going to get caught or found out, and you're going to remove your blessings from me. And so I'm just not going to do anything. You know?
Yep. Yeah. Like, I would rather risk not knowing full joy than risk.
Totally.
Than risk, you know, your, which is like, again, a misunderstanding of his character.
100%.
You know? Because God is not a God who, you know, is waiting to give us slaps on the wrist and orchestrate events in our lives that teach us a lesson, you know, and punish us. You know, he wants to teach us things, but he does that not by punishing us, but I think by showing us his goodness within the consequences or the circumstances that we create for ourselves, honestly, a lot of the times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we're aware of looking for those things, even in like the, you know, I said I'm an optimist, but maybe the better term for that, I just like really choose to take a posture of joy in a lot of things, because I think that I've learned that, like, worry and anxiety and all of the things that, like, are not of God, like, they don't make me aware of him. So if I'm choosing a posture of joy, even when I'm mad and confused and bitter and unforgiving, and I'm much more aware to, like God speaking to me through people or things I'm reading that are of his character, because he uses those things to speak to us, but unless we're aware of them, you know, like,
we
can't notice them.
Yeah.
So I've just noticed that, like, a posture of joy helps me to do that. And so I think that's, like, you know, I have learned a lot about that and what that looks like through meeting Juan and what the end of my prior relationship looked like. So,
speaking of which, okay, so we got off on a tangent, but that's okay. It was a good one. So you just had this 4-hour time with the Lord, and while everyone was hiking.
Yep.
And you were just raw and honest with him. And then what happens next?
Yeah, so that night we had a worship night with all of the people that were there on the trip, which is awesome. And during that worship night, it was cool because I had also on the trip with me was one of my really great mentors, Jen. And I lived with her and her family throughout college. And, like, really, she is my family now. So she had known a lot of the stuff going on in my heart, and stuff that I was wrestling with and insecurity and all of the things. And she, you know, was sitting next to me during that worship night. And during the song Build My Life by House Fire's great song, Forever will be one of my favorite songs because of this moment and the impact, that night was the first night that I have ever in my walk with Jesus, which I met the Lord when I was 18, so it hasn't been that long, really. But I always had heard stories about God speaking to people audibly. And that night was the first time, and maybe the last time, that I heard him audibly. And so I have a bunch of journal entries about this because I met with my old boss and youth pastor like 2 days after I got back from the trip, to kind of process through this with him. And he was like, journal about everything you remember and let it, you know, go back and read it and like rely on that to see the Lord's faithfulness and how he answered you, because we don't always get that gift, you know.
Yeah, totally.
So heard him. It's weird for me to explain because it's still kind of surreal that it happened, but I was like in this room, and they call it the upper room, so it's like an open patio area, and that's where, and you can see the mountains and the distance, and beautiful. So we were up there worshiping, and during the bridge of the song, like the music just cut out. And it was like I was still in the room, but I was aware of things going on around me, but I couldn't hear anything else but God's voice. And it was comforting, and but also like just wrecked my soul in a lot of ways, because God is never not up front with us, you know?
Yeah.
And he like spoke to my heart right there and said, Sammy, you're settling, and why are you waiting on me to tell you what to do when I gave you a brain and thoughts and your feelings are guiding your reading and your processing and your discerning with me and the things, and you're acting like you have no capability to make a wise choice when really you're following me, you're asking me what to do, I'm telling you what to do, and you're just staying there because you're afraid.
Yeah.
Like you're settling. Get it together. You know what you have to do.
Yeah.
And that's what he told me. And I came out of that, and the music filled back in. And, like, just sobbed. And it is truly, like, the first time I think I've ever been, like, brought to my knees in a moment of worship, because I had been asking God to tell me audibly what to do, and he did speak to me audibly. And,
yeah.
But it wasn't really what I wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. It was like,
yeah.
But looking back on it, that will guide the rest of my life and the rest of my walk with Jesus. Like, he didn't just love me enough to give me the one answer I was looking for. Like, he loved me enough to give me the answer to every other thing I'm gonna have to discern in my life. And by saying, like, you have a brain, you're following me, asking for my will, you're aware of me because you're choosing a posture of joy, and you know what to do.
Yeah.
And stop acting like you don't just because you're afraid, you know?
Yeah.
So that wrecked me, because at the root of my disobedience and not making a choice in my relationships, I realized that at the root of that was a deep mistrust of who God was. And I didn't believe that he loved me enough to bless me with the desires of my heart. That wrecked me, because I realized in that moment, like, how much that hurt him. And I came out of that, and I slept on that night. And the next morning, processed it with Jen, my mentor, and, you know, knew what I had to do and talked to Jen about it. And we both agreed that, like, waiting and delaying what the Lord had spoken to me about doing, which would be ending my relationship, or, you know, whatever it was at that point. It wasn't really intact at all at that moment, but fully getting closure on it would be further disobedience, because the Lord had told me, like, you know what to do, you know, like, why are you not doing it? So so I used Jen's phone because I didn't have cell service, and called Mish and talked to her about it, and called my other best friend Allie and talked to her about it, and was just like, yeah, this is like what I heard, and I'm gonna do it. And for the first time in my life, like, I didn't look for advice about anything. I just was confident that that's what the Lord was telling me to do, and I was going to do it. And because I love those people and I'm in relationship with them, I told them and filled them in on that. But for the first time, really, I was seeking what the Lord wanted me to do instead of seeking what his people wanted mm-hmm. me to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, came out of those conversations and made a phone call to the guy that I was in a relationship with and ended that. And ended really well and was honest about where I was and just the fact that, like, my calling did not align with his, and that, you know, I did feel like I was settling in a lot of ways, which isn't an easy conversation to have with anyone,
right.
But really felt the need to be honest about that, so had that conversation and automatically felt like a weight had been lifted off of my shoulders simply from the act of being obedient to God and making a choice that I knew pleased him and was aligning my life in his will. So really, like, and in that moment I was like just overwhelmed with the Lord's faithfulness, and but also still trying to battle the devil's voice in my head that was like, well, you know, you might not find anyone else ever. And you know, playing into all of my insecurities about how I've struggled with body image, and that has been a deep thing in my life since I was in high school because of things and circumstances that were said to me.
I feel that, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like most women can, no matter what the magnitude of it is. But, you know, we grow up in this society that feeds that. And so I just always have struggled with that and struggled with the idea of someone romantically fully knowing me and also fully loving me, you know. So the devil's, like, you know, using this opportunity of me being faithful to God to really play into those. So I was still, like, in the middle of a battle despite knowing that I had done the right thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think that's where I was. And really, like, when I look back and Juan and I talk about this, it's really, really cool to see the Lord's hand in our relationship. Because, like I said, he was on the trip and I had met him, and he's such a babe, but he is Colombian, so he is bilingual, speaks Spanish. So really, like, most of my interaction with him up until that point had been like him translating things for me with kids in the villages, or just like our students were hanging out, so we would be in like the same group with them, but like I never had a one-on-one conversation with him, so it wasn't like on my radar at all,
right?
And it was like the night before we left the Dominican Republic, and I ended up like in a card game with him and one of my friends and then one of Juan's students, and we were playing, and the lights out time came in. We ended up staying out and just talking about ministry and what we do, and I went back into the dorm room and was talking with Jen while we were brushing our teeth, getting ready for bed, and just, like, innocently said, you know, like, I noticed he didn't have a wedding ring on, and, but still didn't know, like, anything about him, really, and, just said to Jen, like, I'm, like, really surprised that Juan isn't married, like, he's a quality dude. I had seen him, like, lead worship and do the devotionals, in the mornings and minister to people and evangelize and do all of these things, and like really saw his heart and like how genuine and intentional he was, but he also had this like carefree nature to him, and it just unparalleled a lot of things that I had ever seen in a man before.
Yeah.
So I said that to Jen, like, really truly and honestly innocently, just like as a remark about his character. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, you know, I just feel like he hasn't found the right person that he wants to do life with. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I get that, you know, and that was that. And on the airport at the way home, we ended up having a really like a long one-on-one conversation about everything. And it was in that conversation that the Lord pointed a lot of things out to me. And I was like, oh, dang. Like, I think I'm into this, but like, didn't know if he was into me or like, really was just, I knew I had done the right thing in ending my previous relationship, but I was like, that's like really fast, you know, like, right. like is that even, should I be doing that? Like, I don't know what that means. So I'm like, not going to do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So I took that posture in it and, you know, just was like, I knew that the Lord would be faithful to me, but in a lot of ways, again, like Juan is, he just is really the best man I've ever met. And so I was like, oh my gosh, he's so out of my league. Like, there is no flipping way that he is into me. So again, like, that was my posture of not doing anything.
Because yeah.
I was like, well, there's no way. But, you know.
When he was probably thinking the same thing about you.
Yeah, which now talking about it, with him and like reminiscing on that, it's interesting to see like just his you know,
his side of things, yeah,
timeline of events and how he first noticed me on that night, the worship night that like I heard the Lord speak to me. And that's the first time that like he felt God point me out to him. And since that, looking back since that point, like, he has pursued me consistently since that point. So the Lord just really, like, was in it. And that had been both of our prayers for our individual relationships. So to see him be faithful to both of those prayers has been really cool. And yeah. Juan, you know, got to the airport after a 12-hour travel day back in Pittsburgh, and Meech picked me up, and Juan asked for my number, and still was, like, unconvinced that he was into me, because I think I was, like, you know, he could have asked for anyone.
Yeah.
Number. Like, I knew he became friends with the youth pastor that I volunteer for, and Jen, and my friend Casey, and I was like, well, he could have asked for any of their numbers. Like, that doesn't mean anything that he asked
when
for mine, you know?
We all know it does, yeah.
Which, you know, now I know it does, but so he texted me the next day about, like, a book we had talked about by Tim Keller that we both really love, and just, like, kept the conversation going. We hung out that weekend, and since that point, like, he had always been open with me about where he was, and we started dating intentionally, and figuring out and evaluating and meeting with mentors separately and together, and really, like, felt like, you know, before we even officially started dating, that, like, the Lord had orchestrated all of these events in both of our lives, and he was in our relationship and at the center of it, and looked from early on at what it would look like for us to get married, just because we both thought that that's where it would end up. And after we kind of figured that out, we have been really intentional about what that looks like. And so, yeah, that being said, he, you know, really cool. Like I said, I had doubted the Lord would bless me with the desires of my heart, and figured out through these conversations with Juan that the prayer he had prayed faithfully for a lot of years, he's 10 years older than me, so he's
33. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So he has, you know, prayed faithfully for me for much longer than I have for him, but he had prayed Psalm 37:4, which is delight yourself in the Lord and dwell in his house and do good, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so again, like, that's just like that, what that was at the root of, like, my spiritual walk within this situation with my relationships. And, like, he had been praying that, and that spoke right to my fear of, like, making the wrong decision, you know? Mm-hmm. And so just seeing the Lord's hand in that has been really cool. And we got engaged on November 3rd and are planning a wedding for May 25th. So it has been just, like, really, I feel like I've lived, like, 10 lifetimes since
July. At this point, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome, though. One thing I want to ask you is, and I've been meaning to ask you this, or I've been wanting to ask you this since you mentioned it, but what did God's voice sound like audibly? Like, was it deep? You know, was it loud? Was it soft? Was it, what did it sound like to you?
So, it was very, like, it was soft, but super, like, convicting. And I think just, like, the way that he spoke with care and love, but also with, like, oh my gosh, Sammy, like, I love you this much, and like, you're just not seeing it, you know? And
like a friend picture, like, shaking you and being like,
yes, so, like, shaking my shoulders and being like, I literally have been right in front of you, and you're, like, looking to your left and your right and behind you and upside down, and, like, I don't even know what you're doing, but, like, I have been here the entire time, and, like, I've walked with you. And I picture it like one of my favorite passages in the Bible is the woman at the well. And I love that passage because we don't even know the woman's name, right? And yet she's the woman in the Bible who has the longest recorded conversation with Jesus when he's on earth. And it's like the significance of that is just insane to me when you think about it. But he, in his conversation with her, right, like, she ends up running back to the town of people who condemned her and judged her and shamed her and tells them, like, guys, like, I met this guy who, like, literally knows everything I've ever did, good and bad, shameful, and things that I hate myself for, but, like, he didn't condemn me for them, and he loved me. And when you think about being able to do that and telling everyone your sin, and because of this one man, because you want them to get what he has given you, that's what I felt like. Like, I was, like, it was just really, like, nothing I've ever experienced. Like, it's like, you know how much he loves you just from his tone and the care that he speaks with. But, like, also, like I said, like, he's never not up front with us. Like Satan hides everything from us. He sugarcoats everything. Like, and tells us that we will be the rulers of our own hearts, and we can be in control. But in the small print at the bottom of the page is, like, but you will die and be separated from the one that your soul was made for. And God doesn't have any small print with us, you know? Like, he is up front and bold with us, and that's what it was like. Like, he just laid it all out there, but never at any point did I feel any shame or conviction that wanted to keep me there. Like, I felt conviction because I realized in that moment how much he loved me. But I knew, when I realized that, I knew right then what I should do. And I think, like, that has guided me a lot in the past month since I've experienced that, and just being like, now when I have a choice to make, you know, like, I pray about it. I don't ask for advice from the 10 million people that I am in relationship with, you know, and in friendships with. Like, I just trust the Lord and trust that he if it's in the parameters of his will, like, I'm gonna make a decision and own it, and he's gonna work in that. And that has, again, really helped my posture of joy and to be more aware of him, mm-hmm. because I have heard his voice, and I know his character, and I am now more
trusting of him.
Just, like, to notice, like, the things that, you know, are convicting to me and act on that conviction and not sit in the shame and, like, let Satan keep me there.
Right. And it's not to say that asking for advice isn't good or anything like that, but I think it is so true that, especially as women, I think we, like, well, maybe not just as women, but as an external processor, you best believe I'm calling Kayla, I'm calling my mom, I'm calling Chloe, I'm calling me, I'm calling everyone that, like, I consider a dear friend of mine and being like, what do you think about this? What, you know, and...
Oh, exactly.
And then, like, number 10 on the list is like, oh, yeah, maybe I should consult the Lord with this decision.
Right, like, do you think I should do that? Oh, no, I'm going to ask this person instead. You know, it's like when we... The danger in that is when we place other people's voices above his.
Yeah.
And we look for his voice in their voices instead of looking to his word.
Like, instead of looking for
the word, you know?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
So I think, like, yeah, like, I still ask for advice from people, but...
Because, I mean, after, and that's biblical, too. But, yes, but after, I think, is a great way. Is a great rule of thumb. But I think, like, it seems like the overall theme for this little part of your story, because it is just, you know, a chapter in your story, is this idea of letting the Lord give you the desires of your heart. And that doesn't necessarily mean, well, it doesn't mean, okay, God, I will have the desires of my heart if you give me a husband. I will have the desires of my heart if you give me this job, or if you give me this amount of money, or if you give me my health, or if you give me whatever it is. We will have the desires of our heart if we let him be the desires of our heart, right?
Yes, like, if, so good.
If we can get to a point where we know him so intimately and we enjoy him and his love so much, that is more than enough. And that's the only thing that can give us the desires of our heart. It seems like you, more than ever before in your life, have been learning that this year since July, which is awesome and something that I long to learn more and believe more and live out more, because it's so hard. We have so many distractions, you know? It's so hard to believe sometimes that strip everything away. All I need is you. And that's not just what I need, it's really all that I want. That is so hard for us to believe sometimes.
Yeah, and I think you're so right. Like, as much as I treasure my relationship with Juan, I'm so pumped to marry him. But I love our relationship the most because it is the most sanctifying thing I have ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are constantly faced with how you fall short in your sin and how I am quick to speak and slow to listen and how I can manipulate as a two, you know, I can manipulate situations in order to feel needed because that's how I feel loved instead of just giving freely. And it's in those moments where I realize, like, how desperate I am for God, you know, and for his character, for my character to become his character. And it's in those moments when Juan and I talk about this all the time, like, yeah, we love each other and we choose each other, but without Jesus in that, like we individually suck at loving one another.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's without the Holy Spirit in it. Honestly, my relationship with him would be nothing without God in it.
Yeah.
So just, like, recognizing he is my relationship with Juan, the reason for that is not to make me happy or, you know, anything like that. The purpose of it is to teach me more about God and his character. Mm-hmm. And God uses different things in everyone's lives to do that, whether it's your job or a friendship or a situation of forgiveness where, like, you gotta forgive and you really don't want to forgive, you know?
Yeah.
Or a struggle with an addiction, you know? Like, the purpose of all of those things, good or bad, is to teach us more about the character of God, and it looks different for everyone. So, yeah, that's definitely something I've been learning, for sure. That's awesome.
So, I know you have to get going to work here, but I want to ask you one last question. Do you have time?
Yeah, for sure. Ask away.
Okay, so what kind of advice would you give to someone who's like, okay, Sammy Britt, like, this sounds awesome, like, let the Lord be the desires of my heart, whatever, what does that even... You know, what does that even mean, really? But more importantly, how do I do that? Like, how do we practically...
That's, like, the hardest part, honestly. Yeah. I think for me, really, like, in this season of busyness, I have been... again, learning what it means to prioritize the Lord and to not let the good gifts he has given me outshine the giver of the gift.
Mm.
And what that looks like for me personally is using whatever free time I have to learn more about him, to study his word, and also to serve him. So, for example, you know, Juan and I live an hour away from one another right now. So on those drives that I do, you know, three times a week, I will listen to some of my favorite podcasts and dive in, just like, instead of listening to music, you know, or listening to the fun things I like to listen to, like, I intentionally choose podcasts that will challenge me to learn. Right. Also, every morning, like, I have to have quiet time, or I constantly find myself striving for perfection.
Yeah.
And striving for my worth. And unless I learn in the first moment that I wake up, like, to hand my day over to God, and honestly, like, I wake up and I'm just like, my alarm goes off and I just, like, am like, hey, God, this is what I have going on today. Like, I'm anxious about it because that's what I do. I'm anxious about a lot of things. And I hand them over to him, come downstairs, have coffee, read the Bible, you know, go through my prayer list, spend time with him. And that's what my mornings look like. And that looks like, for me, waking up at 6 a.m., you know, every morning. But that's what it looks like in this season for me. And that's what it means to prioritize him for me. Making the Lord the desires of your heart means in every relationship that I'm in. I love relationships, you know, they're like at the core of who I am, and it's what I do. I teach other people about them for my job, but, you know, it really is like keeping in perspective that, like, and being aware of the fact that every thought that I have, instead of running to a person with it, I need to run to Jesus with it, because he's the one that teaches me how to respond to really, really hard situations, you know?
Yeah.
And in situations where Sammy would speak harshly and feel attacked and feel insecure, he knows how to work in that, and I don't, you know, because I'm, my human flesh wants to act one way. So I think in this, like, it's really looked a lot like becoming more aware. Like, I'm doing a small group about the Enneagram to learn more with my pastor's wife from a church in Swickley, and she is, we're learning about who we are, and it has looked like really learning who I am sinfully, so that I can acknowledge where my tendency is to not make the Lord the desire of my heart.
Yeah.
And when I realize that, like, it's, I hand it over, and I'm not holding it in my fists, like, clenched, you know, like, right. Lord, I'm gonna control this part of my life, you know, like, it looks like handing him every part of my life and praying the prayer that, like, Lord, I don't know all the things I have to pray for today. I don't know what the day is going to hold, but, like, you do, and I need you to help me know how to pray for the things. Mm-hmm. And trusting that the Spirit intercedes for us on that. Yeah. So, again, like, I'm a big proponent of just, like, posture. You know, I think, like, our posture in life tells a lot about where our heart is, and you can see, like, your posture is not dependent on your circumstances. Like, when Juan and I are fighting in a hard situation, am I miserable? Am I in a posture that, like, is just miserable? Yeah. Or am I still in a posture of joy because I realize, like, the desire of my heart is not him. The desire of my heart is the Lord, you know? Yeah. And so I think that I'm a big proponent for that. And I think, like, every woman can relate to that.
Totally.
Because we all have wants, whether that's, you know, to be known for something we do, and we have a passion, and we want to go out, we're a go-getter, you know, and, like, hustle, we want to get that thing, or whether it's a relationship or whatever, like, we all can relate to the idea of, like, will I still believe God is good, and will I still follow him if he doesn't give me that,
right.
You know, like, will I still want him? And that's the question we have to wrestle through every day. It's like, do I want Jesus more than I want anything else? And if I don't, God, like, what am I doing?
And you help know? Me and take that. About yeah, that. Yeah. Yeah, I think it does come down to, like, learning the tendencies of your heart and, like, doing what you can to connect with God. But ultimately, like, the Lord has to be the one to change our desires and to change our heart. And, like, that's a prayer that we can all pray. But that's awesome, bud. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me on.
So much wisdom, and your story was awesome. It was so cool.
Thank you. I hope that the Lord teaches someone something through it, because I know that, I just, in the best way, like, I have learned so much and been just really blessed with what he has taught me about himself in the past few months. So it's been cool, and it's always cool to, like, reminisce and share and just, again, like, reflect on how he has been faithful in that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we'll definitely have to have you back on, because I feel like there's so many things that you mentioned. Like, we could talk about that for an hour. We could talk about that for an hour. We could talk about that for an hour.
Oh, for sure. I'm a talker, so, you know, anytime. love to talk. It's my thing. So.
All right, so we'll see Sammy again sometime then, for sure.
All right.
All right,
well,
Sammy.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
This is, like, your Christmas episode, I'm assuming, right before Christmas.
Yes,
Just really thank you, and love who you are, and love of what course. You're doing, and that this is going to bless, you know, a lot of people. So
thank you for being brave and coming on. So all right, buddy, well, we will see you guys next time. Thank you so much again for coming on, Sammy.
Yes, I'll talk to you soon.
Alrighty, bye.
Hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a rating and review. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never have to miss the latest episode. If you want to learn more about the show or get in touch with me, you can head on over to talkthattalkpodcast.squarespace.com. Again, that's talkthattalkpodcast.squarespace.com. If you have any questions or if you want to share your story and be on the show, give me a shout. I would love to hear from you. Thank you guys so much again for listening and for all of your support. It means so much to me. And with that, we will be back next time. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.